Thanks, everyone, for listening to part two of this podcast, where we break down how Decisive SRM can be used to manage service events in the European market. Now, we have this giant toolkit that we're bringing to Europe. So now, how do we translate that into value to of SRM to service networks in Europe?
I think if you consider this particularly with a focus on the service networks, and when we are talking about service networks, I have in mind that there are different kind of networks, but all somehow involved in the service process. Those service networks, it could be a service network of an OEM, but we know that also in Europe we have strong service networks of independent aftermarket. And talking about the independent aftermarket, you have service networks for electronics, service networks for body shop, and also for tires, of course. A significant part, I guess probably the biggest part in the aftermarket and in the wear and tear is, of course, the tires, specifically if you're talking about the commercial vehicles. Those service networks leveraging an SRM platform, they can assure across the entire network and across borders and across different languages, they can assure that they always have a consistent, unified service process and a consistent service performance within the network. Typically, those network partners, even for OEM networks, you know, they have independent service shops with their own siloed solution, their own siloed data, and with typically no connection to the overall network. This is even worse in independent aftermarket shops, service networks. Here, they are all independent franchise partners. They are using their own dealer management or workshop management system. And there is very, very rarely is a connection between the service network itself and the service shop. So how to assure a consistent service experience within a service network that is not exchanging data in a digital way?
Just one thought there too that you just reminded me, because I didn't really mention it, but when you have that independent shop and not connected to the service network, you're also losing out on the service history. Like one shop may not know what else has been done on that vehicle unless the fleet operator or whatever tells them about it.
This is a very good point, Pete. There is no service history that is commonly used between the different partners in the service network. And so it is very hard for one partner to understand what has already been done on a vehicle, specifically if we are talking about a repair, a failure that might have been fixed before appears again. And now we should know about what has been fixed the first time because it apparently didn't solve the real problem. So it's also something where in such networks, they are organized very locally, typically. The service shops, they act very locally, and they can address, of course, without any big problem, any local customer. But as soon as we are talking about national or international customers, this requires a completely different structure.
So that's a great point you made, Uwe, about how in the service networks, there's a lot of these independent or franchise service providers. And one of the things that's missing then with them not being connected to the rest of the service network is the service history. There's no shared service history across the network. So what can you say about the impact of that?
Correctly, there is no shared service history in such networks. It is different to OEMs where they typically have a shared service history, but this not having such shared service history really creates a huge problem in those independent workshops. Specifically, if you're facing a repair or a trouble that has been solved in one shop, but that finally did not really solve the problem and suddenly it appears again. The second shop wouldn't know about the first shop having done already some work on that. And then, of course, would disappoint the fleet in trying to repair it at the same time. Maybe this will lead to a third or a fourth necessity to visit a workshop. And since they all don't share the service history, they may repair always the same stuff without fixing the problem. So this, of course, is a big problem specifically for big fleets, international fleets, because they are they have unnecessarily long downtime, which is, of course, related to a significant loss of revenues in this case.
So I think we can both agree this connectivity of everyone in the ecosystem is equally applicable in the European market as well as the North American market.
Yeah, I think it is very important to have this kind of connectivity within a high-quality service network. If you don't have this kind of connectivity within the network, you won't be able to deliver the quality of service that big fleets requesting today. You should be able to digitally interact with the fleets. Big fleets, they are not able to manually work with you. They really like to have even integration with their own fleet management system or with their backend system. They would like to have additional services like central billing and a kind of monthly payment only.
Yeah, that's another great example where that connectivity and holistic approach is necessary. One of the things that I know you've been engaged heavily in lately is, you know, on top of that connectivity, layering in the telematics service providers and the value that they can bring to the SRM concept and delivering service. So can you tell us a little bit about what you've been finding with the telematics providers?
Telematics service providers, I think there are two major topics which I find very interesting in this area. First of all, of course, telematics service providers are capable to provide in the service process connected vehicle information in the sense of simple metadata like mileage count or engine hours, which would help in order to understand the need for a preventative maintenance if you compare it against the preventative maintenance plans. And of course, in almost all cases, they are capable to provide trouble code information. And trouble code information could help to avoid breakdowns. Once they are raised in due time, then you can take action before something severe happens. And here, telematic service provider can significantly contribute to an improved service process that avoids unnecessary downtime. This is one piece. But the second piece, of course, is that for a telematic service provider, a functionality like the service relationship management, this taking care of the service process from the moment the service need is detected until the vehicle is back on the road, this process is typically not covered by the telematic service provider. And telematic service providers, as we experience it during the last years, they are more and more moving in order to offer a comprehensive solution for fleet management. And this piece is missing. So the service relationship management is missing in the offering of a telematic service provider. So it could be a good complementary service that could be included in the offering of a telematic service provider. And in this way, moving from some company that is able to detect the need for a service towards a company that is not only able to detect the need for a service, but also to immediately workflow this service need, connecting all the necessary parties into one unified service flow and provide a solution rather than just raising the problem.
Absolutely. That comes back to that third C I mentioned, the control C, having that alert and notification, and then a closed loop process where I can take some action, right, and to resolve that issue. I think that is, like you said, a perfect match, a complementary match between the offerings of SRM and the telematic service providers.
Also, if you consider that the data collected from a telematic service provider, if you combine those data with data collected in the service process flow, this could really open up new learnings for the entire fleet. So how, for example, service costs are linked to different missions, how service costs are linked to specific driver behavior or so. So having a unified data collection and combining service data with telematics data, I think could even provide future new services in terms of machine and data learning.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's where, again, our newest and planned data products and services come into play to help provide insights and actions that can be taken based on the insights as well, not just the events. Outstanding. So I know we've covered a lot of ground. We started with SRM. What is it? Service relationship management and the importance of managing service events. You can't leave them to themselves because that just leads to chaos. And we talked about some of the similarities and differences in North America and in Europe, certainly about managing service events and the potential chaos. I think some of the key differences, still SRM can be applied to address those things like the home dealer concept or the added challenge of multiple countries and multiple languages and multiple currencies, multiple regulations. Again, that just really helps drive home the need for this holistic approach. Then we talked about being able to use something like our APIs, SRM Connect, as this on-ramp to quickly get new networks on, or the fleet operators, get people digitally connected. Layering on top of that, the telematic service providers, and then as a complementary service, and then marrying all of that data together to then get us a whole nother level of benefit. And finally, we talked about it early on, but I think it's a good place to come back to wrap up, is the benefits to everybody in the ecosystem for optimizing that asset performance, to the fleet operator or equipment operator, to the service provider, to the manufacturer, whether it's improving efficiency, improving customer satisfaction, reducing downtime, more manageable costs, all of those kinds of things we see across the board. All right, Uwe, we've covered a lot of ground. We've talked about SRM and the benefits, and you've thought a lot about how this is going to play out in Europe. Your final thoughts, how this is going to play out to the benefit of the service providers and the TSPs, and especially their customers.
When we are talking about telematic service providers and we are talking about service networks in general, there is one significant benefit for both of them that we have not specifically raised here. But this is, in both cases, we are able to improve the way they interact with their fleet customers. So the fleet customer would have an easy way to interact in the service process for all the different brands and different asset types they have. It's a unified experience for the fleet. And since the fleet has a much better experience in solving their after-sales service issues, this finally generates loyalty and the retention in the service network, as well as for telematic service providers. If they can offer something that is liked by their fleet customers because they work for fleet customers.
Nice. All right, everyone. That's going to wrap up the part two of this podcast. Thank you to Uwe Mensch for participating in this conversation and giving everyone an insight on what Decisive SRM is, why it's proven as a very powerful platform for connected asset service management, and the value of using Decisive SRM in the European market. I'm Pete Russo, and we'll see you on the next podcast.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're interested in learning more about how SRM can drive much more intelligent service management and greater parts and labor revenues, contact Uwe Mensch at umensch@decisive.com and visit us at decisive.com.